President Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package is likely to be passed without Republicans on board. Early this morning in the Senate, Vice President Kamala Harris cast a tie-breaking vote on a resolution to move it forward. It now goes to the House.
And partisanship was on full display in the House last night. All but 11 Republicans rejected a move by Democrats to take away Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene's committee assignments. Greene has promoted false conspiracy theories about school shootings and the September 11th attacks and called for violence against Democrats like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. This morning on CBS News, Ocasio-Cortez was asked if she was afraid of working with Taylor Greene.
I would hope that Representative Greene shows some reflection. I will feel safer when she does. But if she doesn't, it remains a very tense situation.
Our Friday roundtable joins us now. Eugene Daniels joins us on his maiden voyage for the Here and Now political roundtable. He is White House correspondent for Politico and author, co-author of the Politico Playbook. Eugene, welcome to you.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on my first time. I'm excited.
And we're glad to have you. Margaret Talev is managing editor at Axios. Margaret, hi.
Hey, great to be with you.
Good to have you. And Margaret, let's start with you. This morning, Marjorie Taylor Greene spoke and said she was freed. Let's listen.
I'm fine with being kicked off of my committees because it'd be a waste of my time. You know who I am. I'm a very hard worker, and I'm proud of it. So now I have a lot of free time on my hands, which means I can talk to a whole lot more people all over this country.
So Congress may have taken her power to legislate away, but they haven't really muted her influence, have they?
This is a really interesting question. I mean, her response tells you everything you need to know about how serious the apology speech the night before was. Not very serious. And so this is someone who has really toggled back between going on the offense, showing herself to be, willing to take on the status quo and especially Democrats and say things that are completely unrooted in fact, but then kind of play the game when it behooves her. I don't know. I got all this bad information. I don't know where it's coming from. And then today you see again the politician she actually is. So, yeah, yes, there is the First Amendment and there are television networks and news outlets that will write about her and the things that she's saying and doing. She has some following. But I think being off those committees will make a difference both in terms of policy and in terms of how tied the Republican Party is to her.
Eugene, a lot of talk about precedent this week. The Democrats have now set themselves up when they're in the minority to have their members stripped of their committee assignments. What do you think about that? Have we reached this new phase of dysfunction that will last for a long time because of this vote?
I feel like every week we're reaching a new level of dysfunction in D.C. And I think that, you know, this is part of it. Nancy, the Speaker of the House, talked about this a little bit yesterday. But to her, she said, no, we will handle our own people. And that's kind of what this vote ended up being, is that Kevin McCarthy kind of him and hawed about, quote-unquote, handling Marjorie Taylor Greene himself and doing, you know, having either a conversation, pulling her off of committees himself. And the fact that they didn't, that's why Democrats felt the need to act. If I would think, and, you know, Speaker Pelosi says that, you know, if someone from our party is doing something similar, we'll talk to them and get them straightened out. And that's, I think, to Margaret's point, is so key about this, is that leadership is backing her, right? President Trump, though he is not the president, he's still the leader of this party. McCarthy is hugging and embracing her. Most people supported her in this vote. And so she isn't going anywhere and her ideas aren't going anywhere, even though she's isn't on these committees anymore, because leadership has not made her show true contrition, as we saw today.
Eugene, as you say, she still has a lot of support. In this election, she beat her opponent, who was a neurosurgeon. She beat him by a wide margin. So one would think that what she has proclaimed in the past, she might still believe, despite that kind of pseudo-apology. Margaret, are the QAnon conspiracy theories that she says she once believed in, are we seeing a turning point now on the hold that QAnon has over some Americans because of what she said, or not?
Yeah, look, we did some polling this week, and the results were very interesting. We worked with SurveyMonkey, our partners, on this poll, and asked them to talk to Republican and Republican-leaning Americans about whether they're more in line with Marjorie Taylor Greene, more in line with Liz Cheney. And for Republicans in the United States right now, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Kevin McCarthy are much more popular figures with much higher favorability ratings than are either Mitch McConnell or Liz Cheney. It's a snapshot in time. It could change over time as people learn more or as Trump's hold on rhetoric potentially subsides. For right now, it's a superficial knowledge. These are Americans who admit they don't, many of them don't actually know that much about what she believes in or what she stands for, but it is a positive association for them if they identify as Republicans, and that is because of the association with President Trump. So I think all of this, the future of QAnon, the future of Marjorie Taylor Greene, are very much bound up in President Trump's future and potentially, potentially, to some extent, in the future of this $2.7 billion lawsuit brought by one of these voting companies against conservative media and against Fox and against several of these figures, Rudy Giuliani and such and so forth, around defamation. I think as long as there is an outlet, major, major outlets for disinformation and conspiracy theories, that that the QAnon movement will have a foothold in American politics and particularly in the Republican Party.
I think that's,
yeah, and it's
I just want to add quickly
ahead,
to Margaret's point, is that one of the things about Trumpism, because that is a part of the QAnon theory, right? Like President Trump is, and the belief in him is a part of that. It is about Trumpism as a politics of contempt. It's not a politics of a certain policy prescription. It is about the politics of contempt, the politics of being strong and never backing down. And Marjorie Taylor Greene and now Kevin McCarthy are wrapped in that as well. And so until the Republican Party is able to kind of, quote unquote, figure out what they're going to do with President Trump and about his influence in the party, that is still going to be a huge part of the party. And in that slice lies QAnon and more of these conspiracy theorists.
So talking about the rift in the Republican Party, last night, Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse denounced his state's Republican Party Central Committee's attempt to censure him because he criticized former President Trump after last month's riot on Capitol Hill. Let's hear from part of that video now.
Politics isn't about the weird worship of one dude. The party could purge Trump skeptics, but I'd like to convince you that not only is that civic cancer for the nation, it's just terrible for our party.
The party will find its way through this by what means, Margaret, because it's not looking that positive right now.
Right. When you're the senator for a state and you have to give a prebuttal to your own party structure, it tells you where we are right now. I mean, look, if you look at the House members who voted, the Republican House members who voted with the Democrats to strip Marjorie Taylor Greene of her assignments, you saw folks who represent swing districts and who represent Florida, New York, and New Jersey, places where she had so deeply offended people with her questions about 9/11 or the Parkland shooting. No one else wants to do that in public on the record. And so this is where Ben Sasse, you know, is at right now. And it's a real conundrum with not an obvious way out. There is no obvious way out right now unless some combination of kind of the zeitgeist of the median Republican voter in the United States and the collective will of party leadership changes. And right now, certainly, I mean, look, Liz Cheney, after everything that happened this week, Liz Cheney herself did not vote to pull Marjorie Taylor Greene off those committees. That tells you everything you need to know.
I do want to move on because there is a lot of action happening on the COVID relief bill overnight in the Senate, for one. But just real quick, before I hope you'll just indulge me on a procedural question here. If you are stripped of all your committee assignments, like what do you do in Congress? Do you just come in for the votes? I mean, she says she can have a lot of time on her hands. What's the job if you're not in committee, Eugene?
I think doing what she said, right? Like, because the point of these committee hearings is to, or being on committees, is to have influence on the policies that you're pushing forward. And like I said, this Trumpism isn't about policy, right? It is about bluster, and it is about being out there and up front. And she seems to be embracing that. She says she has a lot of time on her hands. She'll be coming in to do votes, but I think she will probably spend most of her time kind of being a briar in the shoe of Kevin McCarthy and other people as they, even though they're, you know, kind of embracing her and kind of at least saying, you know, she can stick around as a member of our party and we want her to be on these committees, that she's going to be bothering them about these kinds of things, like pushing them to be a little bit further right than I think they're comfortable with.
Margaret, we have just about a minute left here, but real quick on the COVID relief bill. Former Clinton Treasury Secretary and Obama Economic Advisor Larry Summers is writing in the Washington Post today that he's concerned Biden's plan is too big and could overheat the economy. We've actually been hearing this from different economists over the last couple of days. Are Democrats heeding those warnings? We just have about 30 seconds now.
Yeah, I actually think Larry Summers' stance speaks for a lot of other Democrats in the party, maybe not the progressive wing, but nevertheless. And here's what we saw in the Voterama and the kind of structure for the reconciliation vote. Two things to keep an eye on. One, the minimum wage is not going to get raised on a force through because of this pandemic. And there is going to be a cap on those $1,400 payments for higher income people. But there's still a lot of other money that there's going to be a real effort to restrain.
Margaret Taleb and Eugene Daniels, thanks so much to you both.